ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Everything from the supermarket checkout to the car park boom gates are automated these days, but some jobs still need a warm body. Herding livestock, for example. Working dogs are very useful for that. And they're also beautiful and entertaining to watch. Muster Dogs is one of the most popular shows on the ABC now. Season 2 is airing at the moment. And the voice behind it, broadcaster Lisa Miller, has written a book to help us appreciate why that connection between dog and sheep and farmer is so compelling. It's oddly enough called Muster Dogs, From Pups to Pros, How 10 Dogs Stole Hearts and Changed Lives. Lisa, welcome back to Life Matters.
Thank you very much, Hillary. Great to be here.
Though I understand some of your friends thought you were going to be working on a cooking show when you first told them.
Well, when I told them that it was Muster Dogs, they were like, Mustard Dogs? What are you saying? They had visions of hot dogs. You know, Lisa Miller does 10 varieties of hot dogs. No, it was Muster Dogs. And look, a lot of people were surprised about this project and me, because even though I grew up in the country, I have spent most of my life living in the big cities around the world and 12 years as a foreign correspondent. I haven't actually owned a dog for about 30 years. But there you go. Life can take you in very different tangents.
Well, it sounds like this was an incredible experience for you, but also quite a challenging experience. Why did it have that kind of roller coaster aspect?
Well, it was challenging because for starters, when the producers pitched the show, it was just before COVID began and all the state borders closed. So how do you try and get pups around to different trainers? How do you get camera crews around to follow them? So the producers themselves, quite frankly, pulled off a miracle getting series one done. For me, I was brought in at the last minute. And while I'm so used to sitting here and chatting to you like this, Hillary, or being on News Breakfast or Backroads or whatever it might be, to go into a studio and narrate something in the way that they required it, it was absolutely one of the hardest things I'd ever done. And I'll confess, there might have been a few tears at times, just because I also knew how important this project was and I didn't want to let them down.
Well, it sounds like, you know, Muster Dogs has those emotional highs and lows for people too. There's, you know, it's so beautiful watching people have the wins, but also the struggles to get those dogs trained.
And one of the things I wanted to do with the book was to give people this behind the scenes look at what was happening, because not only were we telling the stories about the dogs, but we were telling the stories of the people. And I know we're about to talk to Mick Hudson, and I loved being able to tell the story of Carolyn, his wife, and Scylla as well, their roller coaster of lives that led them there. The scariest moment, I think, for me in series two, it was when Buddy, who was Zoe's dog, got very, very sick. And I remember talking to the producer. They were filming with her at the time, and I thought, wow, we could lose our first dog here, and that would be devastating. So talk about a roller coaster of emotions. Yeah.
Yep. Stay tuned. Series two. The breeder supplying the puppies in this series is Mick Hudson. He is one of the most celebrated trainers of working dogs in the country, though he prefers the word educator. Mick, welcome.
Good morning, Hillary.
For those who don't know anything about how farms work, why are these dogs needed so often to move animals around, and how do they do it so well?
Well, it's happened over as long as we've been in Australia. When the first settlers come here, they had to manage their livestock. And, I mean, dogs are the best way in the world to manage livestock, motorbikes and utes and whatnot. The dogs are able to educate the livestock to be calm and to learn to walk straight and to learn to go in the yard. And dogs are amazing animals at being able to do that.
That's really interesting, isn't it? Because some people might say, is that going to keep a sheep calm, having, you know, a predator in effect nipping at its heels?
No, they stay at the right distance, and they teach the animals to pull up and walk and it's just amazing how a well-bred animal can teach the animals to be well-behaved. A very good working dog can teach the animals to be well-behaved.
That's really interesting that you say that the dog's educating the sheep. So you're educating the dog's then educating the sheep. What kind of dog do you need for that? Do you need a special kind of dog that has that skill?
Well, we try and select. We've been breeding and competing with dogs, my father and grandfather before me, and we've been breeding and selecting the best genetics and trying to improve the breed so they are kind to their livestock and they do have the ability to get to the front and stop stock. And a lot of it's natural ability, but we further develop that with training.
A lot of training by the sound of it. How many hours?
I would imagine a one-year-old dog is probably only equivalent to a 9 or 10-year-old child, but I would imagine to fully educate a dog, you'd potentially got to put 100 hours into them.
Okay, that's a lot. That's a lot of time and repetition and patience. So there's the genetics, there's the the training. You talk too, Mick, about the relationship with the dog, because there've been a few different theories about dog training over the years. What's yours?
Well, I was very impressed in the Muster series with the people. You must have a good bond with the dog. He must be your mate to get the best out of him. And those people seem to do it very well in the series. And I think that's part of the secret. Part of the secret to genetics, but you must have a bond with your dog to be able to train it to a high standard.
So there's discipline, but also friendship.
Most certainly. There's three major parts. It's reward, repetition, and discipline. And it's the same as a child at school. He gets rewarded for good work, he gets disciplined for bad behaviour, and in repetition he learns.
And so how soon in the training process, Mick, do you see whether a dog is going to have that knack of being able to relate to the sheep?
Certainly in that Muster Dog series, it worried me a little bit. We have got some of the best dogs in the country, but when you're breeding dogs, you never do know. You can breed from absolute champions and not get as good, but I wanted to make sure them pups had the ability, and we started them on livestock before they went, and they showed me great ability. And it's very important that we switch that livestock working instinct on it between 8 and 12 weeks of age. Otherwise, you could miss that opportunity.
So, Mick, tell me a little bit about the dogs you have on your farm at the moment that you're most interested in. Who's got potential?
All my dogs have potential.
Of course.
But I guess we just look for very good natural ability and training. They've got to be able to be trained. We don't want ignorant dogs. We want dogs that want to work with us, and we want dogs with very good natures.
And Mick, what do you want people to learn from watching Muster Dogs, wherever they might happen to live around Australia?
Well, I think people have got to understand that, you know, there's millions of sheep and cattle and goats in Australia, and without those working dogs, we cannot add to the economy, because we need them sheep dogs and cattle dogs and goat dogs to bring them sheep to the yards to be crutched or drenched or loaded or tagged, or all the husbandry that needs to be done with animals. We need dogs to be able to help us achieve that.
Mick, it's been great to chat to you and get an insight into that today. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Hilary.
Mick Hudson, the breeder that supplied the dogs to Series 2 of Muster Dogs. Lisa Miller, you were the narrator. How hands-on were you able to get with the dogs too?
Not at all with Series 1 because of the COVID lockdown, of course. But Series 2, wow, I made up for it. I was puppy central. People were saying, you're really getting paid to do this job. You know, when Mick was it was great to hear Mick's voice again. He's a great guy, very talented. The fact that the most expensive Kelpie sold for $49,000, that gives you an idea of how valuable they are, because one Kelpie or one working dog can do the work of about three people on properties. And the reality is we can't get people into regional Australia. So we're not doing people out of a job. We're trying to find ways around getting the work done, because we all eat, we all need clothes. That's why we should all care about this.
Yeah, that feeds into Australia's economy generally. And it's Border Collies this season, isn't it?
It is Border Collies.
Oh, so cute. Fluffy little puppies. We're speaking with Lisa Miller, and I'm trying to keep a lid on my puppy love here. Let's talk to someone who's got much less experience than Mick Hudson in training dogs, but bravely decided to be part of the show anyway. Scylla Pursehouse is one of the farmers competing in the show, and she runs a cattle farm in the North Burnett area in Queensland, while also raising three kids, age 5, 3, and 2, with her husband. Scylla, welcome.
Thank you very much. Glad to be chatting with you this morning.
Great to have you on the program. But you don't have the traditional farming backstory in some ways, do you? Tell me about the kind of diversion you took before you came back to the land.
Yeah, so I was born and raised on a cattle property in the North Burnett, but I always had this very strong creative streak and was into dancing and singing and drama, and saw, you know, my life on the stage. I was very excited by the big city lights. So when it came to spreading my wings, I left the farm and I pursued a career as an artist around Australia. For 10 years, I lived away from the property. But a very interesting thing, I didn't ever see myself returning to the farm. I thought who I was not connected to the land. But as I began to, you know, grow a little bit older, a little bit wiser. What I saw in the city affirmed to me absolutely that I was different, that I had a much deeper understanding of country life that people didn't have, I presumed, you know, was just general knowledge. And the further I got into my life, the stronger the pull was back home.
And it's interesting too, Scylla, because, I mean, you have these three kids. There's this great footage of you strapping a baby to your front and setting off to do the farm work, putting the three kids in the back of the ute and going around the property. Why were you keen to participate in the show when you've clearly got a lot more going on in your life as well?
Yeah, well, I was really inspired by how much people were drawn in and loved Series 1. I was hearing all of these great stories and accounts from all different people. People were talking about it. People were feeling so much joy for the stories and for the dogs and for the people that they had connected with through the show. And it got my interest because I am very passionate about sharing rural stories, about sharing what we do on the land with people who otherwise don't get to see it, don't understand, don't get to experience it. Having a foot in both camps, having experience living in the city and seeing what people see, but having an absolute grounding on the land and a fourth generation foundation, I saw a really beautiful way that Muster Dogs share stories with the country cousins and the city cousins. And I just, it really piqued my interest and I thought, that's amazing. And then for Series 2, I saw that they were featuring Border Collies and I've always had an affinity with Border Collies. My family have always run teams of Border Collies. So when I saw it was Border Collies in Season 2, I was like, sign me up.
How did you get along with the Border Collies in the end?
Oh, gorgeous. Yeah, absolutely. From day one, Mick and Caroline selected for us a beautiful little Border Collie, long hair Border Collie girl who we named Ash Barkey. And from day one...
Ash Barkey? Oh,
Ash,
that's
Barkey,
great.
Yes. And she is. She's very vocal. She's so outgoing. She loves to have a chat. We often sing songs around the farm because of the extra, you know, musicality in the family, and she loves to join in. So she fit in beautifully.
Hey, Scylla, it's Lisa here. I just wanted to give you a shout out. So good to hear your voice again. You were so patient with me as well when I was writing the book because I was asking you so many questions. And I just want to say thank you for diving very deep into your life and letting me write about it in the book. And also, sorry about the tears. Didn't mean to make you cry.
That's okay. And I feel so lucky, Lisa, to even have the opportunity to share the stories of and to go through that process with you. The beauty of your storytelling is that it's so real and it's so raw and it comes through in the book as just this gorgeous read that you can really dive into. The book is gorgeous, by the way.
Thanks,
Scylla. It should be on every coffee table because the way that you have told everyone's story and the way that you dive into our lives in such a natural way and recount those stories is just perfect. And I'm so glad that I was able to be part of that process.
It's really interesting to hear everyone connected with this show talk about the joy. Lisa, just as we finish up, do you think this is a show that we needed at this point in our lives?
Oh, we absolutely needed it a few years ago, but I think the messages out of it is authenticity and kindness and respect, and that is what you get with this show, and thank goodness there's a Series 3 coming as well.
More puppies! Lisa Miller, thanks so much for joining us on
Thank
Life
you.
Matters.
Thank you.
Scylla Pursehouse is a Queensland farmer and participant on the show as well. Thanks, Scylla. And you heard earlier from Mick Hudson, who's an award-winning dog breeder who supplied the dogs for Series 2. It's airing now on ABC TV and iView.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.